Good morning, and thank you so much for MITEI for this opportunity. As we know, loop quantum gravity is one of the theory which tried to quantize the geometry of space-time. And we start by, I mean, the Dirac's canonical quantization. And for this reason, we need to build up the classical Poisson bracket. And first, we started last week's by the continuous variable. And after that, we move, or we obliged to define a new variables in terms of the holonomy. And yesterday we have seen also the flux. So here we, I mean, we interest about the graphs, and we should define these two variables for each edges. So we have seen the holonomy, and yesterday also we have seen the concept of the flux. And for example, if we have a parallel transport along the path gamma, and we should also define another dual path. So imagine if we take a vector here, and this vector we do parallel transport from here and back to the path, I'm sorry, here, to the path gamma. I mean, started from gamma star s to gamma zero. So we can write this parallel transport, or it's of this element. So, yes, with this tangent vector multiplied by the inverse of the holonomy ds. But because there is many possibilities that this also vector transport for, I mean, other different paths, we need to integrate over all this. And this is give the flux along the path gamma. So as we know, that this is its valued object on SU2, so we have just a quick stuff. So this is contract by these things. And also we have another definition in terms of the conjugate elements of the gauge connection, so B, G. So yesterday also, we have seen that we need to construct from, I mean, this expression, a Poisson bracket between H and E, and H and H, and E and H. I'm sorry, E and E, which is formed a closed algebra. And because this is, it's look like an ugly expression, we simplified, and we find that it's related to, I mean, we move from the spinor, spinoral representation of SU2 to the vectorial presentation of the rotation, and after that we plug the expression in, and we compute this Poisson bracket, and we find it just simply, which is equal to h here, if we put like m n and for this one along the path gamma, this is obviously equal to zero because we have h is depend on the gauge connection, and we know that the Poisson bracket of the gauge connection, it's equal to zero. And using the Jacobi identity for computing the third one, we just use the Jacobi identity and we find it as JK L of E. So to summarize, we construct a closed algebra, and this closed algebra is for one edge, and next we go to the quantization. So we build up a Hilbert space for each edge, now for each graph. And if we go to the quantum, the continuum dynamical Hilbert space, just we collect all the individual Hilbert space for the each graphs, and we do the projection limit. So now we go from this, for just to finish. So we have a loop quantum gravity, edges, and we associate for each edge these two new variables. And for the next, we go to direct the quantization from the isomorphism between the classical Poisson bracket to the anti-commutation relation using the definition of these two variables in terms of operators. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Mohamed. Mohamed Akam. Okay, so yeah, very good.
So as Mohamed said, we're now going to go to the quantization. So just here, there is just small. So this is not this Poisson bracket, but it's E with H. Otherwise, you would get a minus, and the T would be here. Okay. And so what is this structure that we have here now? This structure is the cotangent bundle of SU2. Okay, so it's a quite well-known structure. And indeed, these variables are now associated to one edge, each edge of a graph. We're going to have this H and E. Okay, and so now the next step is, so these are our basic variables. And we are still in the first step of the Dirac program, but now the next step is to turn this variable into operators and to find an inner product, okay? So to determine what is the kinematical Hilbert space of loop quantum gravity without talking at all about constraint, but just try to quantize this variable. Yeah, you have a question?
So that graph, I'm not really sure that I understand it because, for example, where are these lines living on? How do you pick the nodes? So what would they represent as they mean to say, well, there's a node here, three lines are coming out here, so I.
So here, you're right that when you're just talking about one graph, okay, it's a bit, you don't have all the information, okay? You're just looking at a finite number of degrees of freedom. But then the idea is that, of course, all graphs are allowed. So it's exactly when you work just with Wilson loop, where these objects are gauge invariant, then you know that with all the possible Wilson loops on a manifold, then you can reconstruct the gauge invariant information of your connection. Okay, and so here, of course, we are going to focus on one graph to do the quantization. But then to go to the complete theory, then you have to consider a kind of union of all possible Hilbert space associated to all possible graph. Okay. Union of Hilbert space associated to all possible graph, and then take what we call this projective limit to go back to a continuum information. Okay, so the Hilbert space of loop quantum gravity is continuum. Then we are going to see that usually we are going to say that loop quantum gravity is going to predict discreteness, but it's not because we have graph. The discreteness really comes from the fact that we have operators which are going to have discrete, which are going to represent geometry and which are going to have discrete eigenvalues. Okay, so here we have this graph as tools, but then when you go to the complete theory, you don't lose any information. You really have all the. Yeah, Barbara, you have a question.
So yesterday when we drew this with gamma and gamma star, they were intersecting each other. In this picture, they don't intersect. Is that wrong? Do they have to intersect each other?
Yeah. So now, in fact, we can just talk about. So here, yeah, they intersect because this is. So you have this intersection here. Okay. Yeah. To have a non-trivial Poisson bracket here, a non-trivial Poisson structure. Yeah. This need to be defined this way, and it has to be different from. So the fact that we choose S is 1/2, this is really just a convention, and the result does not depend at all on this convention. But then if you will have some issue if you define your dual curve at one of the endpoints of your initial curve, okay? But then we can really, in fact, a bit forget about this dual curve and really work only with one curve. So when we are talking about the graph here, this is really just the gamma, okay? So this edge would be just the gamma. Okay, and we forget about the dual representation because it's just a way to define this variable, but then it does not really depend on the way you define it. You can always draw, so a dual graph will be always like this, okay? And at some point we are going to introduce it because it's going to be what we call the triangulation, but we really consider that our variable, and this is true because this variable live here, as we said, this variable here, since we have this parallel transport, really sit here at this point, at the origin of the gamma graph. Okay, so here what we have is a variable here, a h here, and in fact we can also we could also define a flux living here. They will just be related by parallel transport using this h, which is living in. Yeah.
So in four dimensions, the should we intersect with the thing or something?
Yeah, so the difference in four dimension is that you will still, holonomy will still be defined on a curve, okay? But then the dual, the conjugated variable E is going to be defined on the dual plane, okay? Which is, so you look at a plane intersecting this curve, and we're going to use this plane to smear the E variable, the flux. Okay. Any more questions before we go to the quantization?
So gamma star just redefined, but we proved that non-trivial Poisson bracket, it's in terms of between E and H, it's just in terms of gamma.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now we are going to start with this given age, okay, and the idea is to go to the quantization of this. So we want to quantize the age, and we can see that really as a subset system. So now, since I'm going to consider that it's part of a graph, I'm going, instead of using the gamma notation, I'm going to use E for edge, okay? And this is really seen as a subsystem. Of course, it's not so. what do we need to find now? We need to find an irreducible representation of the basic phase space variable, so the holonomy and the flux as operators, okay, on some space of function, like we did for the particle. And then we need to equip this space with an inner product, and this will allow us to find an orthonormal basis, okay? So these are the steps that now we want to do. Okay, so first let's consider, we said that here we really consider the connection as our configuration variable. So now since we forget more or less about connection and we can just talk about holonomies, okay, we shift to this picture. This means that this holonomy are going to be our configuration variable. So do you have an idea? So holonomies, what are holonomies? In fact, holonomies are just SU2 group element. And so we want to quantize function of the holonomy. Here it's function on the group. Okay, so we want to quantize of the holonomies. So it's a function on the group. This means that we are going to consider F starting from the group G. You can take. So do you have, since these are our configuration variable, we also have this commutation relation between the H. Do you have an idea how we are going to quantize which kind of operator we are going to get from the holonomies? Yeah.
Multiplicative operator.
Sorry?
Multiplicative
operator. Operator? Yeah. Okay. So as for the parameterized particle, you remember the Q and the T variables were quantized as multiplicative operators. There were our configuration operator, configuration variables. And now you see also that the fact that we have this commutation, this Poisson bracket here equal to zero, and you know that multiplicative operator will have to commute. This means that now the commutator between this thing as operator will be also zero. This is consistent with this Poisson bracket, okay? So indeed, we are going to quantize them as multiplicative operator. So if we start from a function on the group that has as the group element, we just get then the action of a function is just given by so if now we consider, let's consider a state in the holonomy representation. So we are going to use, if I call this state, this, what does it mean? This means that here we're going to okay, so we define now the action of the holonomy F of E as, so if we have this action is just telling you that you get this new state. Okay. And of course, the multiplication operator commute. So this is okay with the commutation relation. Okay. And so this is so it's okay with the commutation relation. So now we need to, so this is quite natural, okay? Now what is going to be the, how are we going to quantize the flux variable? And for this we are going to use this Poisson bracket, okay, to guess what we are going to get, and then when we will have a result, we are going to check that this Poisson bracket is consistent. Okay? We still get a consistency. So now let's go to the flux. So let's use the commutation relation between the flux and the holonomies. And we have seen that, so this can be seen as a function of the group. We'll see that in a moment. Eta, and then we have this Tg, and then this is the component Mn. Okay, so what is, and this can be also rewritten as, if we take the lead derivative on the group, the left invariant derivative, because we would get exponential of t Tg, and then at t is equal to 0. Okay, so this is also a SU2 group element, and this is what defines, so this is a lead derivative on the group, and it's what we call the left invariant derivative, because you can multiply on the left your group element, and it's going to be invariant, okay? So this is what we call the left invariant okay, so you see that here the idea is going to be, of course, to see, say that the holonomy, we are going to see that indeed the flux as an operator is going to be related to a derivative, okay? And of course we can generalize that to function of the holonomy. So if we look at the generalization, not just a group element, but if here now we have a function, this is going to be given as the left invariant derivative which is going to be just by definition is this f of and so this can be used to represent the Poisson, this Poisson bracket as the action. So this means that we can represent this Poisson bracket as the action of the left invariant derivative. And so if now we are using that Poisson bracket have to be mapped into commutator, okay? Should be mapped into commutator like this means that if we have the commutator of this has to be equal to E H bar, and now we consider this Poisson bracket and the result as an operator. So and let's use this idea, okay? So here you see that we have the result of the Poisson bracket. So this can be seen, this can be seen as an operator. And if we now apply that to the state one, which is correspond to the constant function, and apply, then we are going to deduce what is the action of E as an operator. So apply this to 1, which is the state corresponding to the constant function. Constant function. Okay, so we have G of 1, it's always 1. So if now we write, maybe I'm clean. So let's go on the other side because I need some room here. Okay, so let's go back. Okay, so this is a function of the group. Okay, and C of G can be written like this. Okay, you okay? So now it just means that I'm, so instead of, so this is a function defined on SU2. Now I'm just considering this is a constant function. I'm calling it 1, OK? So what does it mean here? As a constant function, this means that at any g is going to give the constant that I said was 1, OK? So here it's really, and this is, if you want, it's 1, but it's a bit written like this, OK? So it's a constant function applied on, this is exactly, so here you get, it will be if you call this one, this is really, okay, but since it's a constant function, it's, or you don't see the dependence on G, okay?
Sorry, without we get
sorry?
G in the last one, G1 equals?
Okay, so let's remove that. Yeah, so, you want, maybe you don't want state here, you just want to say that it's the constant function 1, like this?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, because you're right, it's a state, so it's evaluated at G, so it's a value, it's a number, because it's the value of the function evaluated at a given group element, okay? Like here, C of G is a number, it's a function evaluated at. Okay, so maybe this was the confusion because I had the state. Yeah, thanks. So let's write now. So we want to look at acting on 1. Okay, and so this is, so this operator, so this means that we are looking now at this Poisson bracket, okay? And we want to find this correspondence here. So this as an operator, sorry. So this is also, as I said, related to this Poisson bracket, as we just show it, acting on my constant state. And so here, I mean, I'm expecting that this is equal to the commutator between this operator and this operator still acting on 1. So here, the first term is going to be f acting on 1. It's by multiplication because this is a function of the holonomy. Okay, so it's a multiplicative 1. So I get, and since it's a constant function, I just simplify this way. This is by multiplication, and then And here we are going to choose, okay, it's a choice, that this is equal to zero, but justification, it seems justified because usually the derivative, since this is going to be, we know that it's going to be related to a derivative operator for a function on the group. Since this is a constant function, usually the derivative on a constant is equal to zero. Okay, so it's a choice, but it's quite justified. So this, if this is zero, then we find that E act as the derivative operator, and we can see that now the action of the fluxes on a state which can be decomposed as the action of this function. So this is all our state are state function on the of the holonomy, function on the group. So this can be also decomposed like this using the constant function. Then using this result, we get that has to be EH and the derivative left invariant derivative operator. Okay, so this is how we are going to quantize the flux variable, okay, seen as an operator. It's a left invariant derivative. And so what do we need to check now? Okay, so here, now we have our two variables as operators. We have seen that the HH commutation, Poisson bracket, is satisfied at the quantum level as a commutator because we are dealing with multiplication operators. Then we use the second relation here to find what was the definition of E as an operator. But now we need to check that the last commutation relation between the E operator is satisfied, okay? So we need to find to check consistency of the final commutation between fluxes. So is that satisfied? So this means we want to look at this commutator where we consider two so on the same edge, okay, the E is just for the edge, acting on a state. So by definition, this is just G E. And since we have operators now, this means, so if we use the definition, this means that we're expecting this is equal to so G. So I'm using this symbol to say it's the action, okay? Because it's not a function, it's really an operator. So it's we are dealing with group action here. Otherwise, if you use like a rond, then of course you get confused with the order. So here it's still E K minus, so the action of this derivative K J. And so we want to show that this is equal to this commutator. Seen as an operator. Okay, so this is what we want to show. So let's compute this action on just a group element, okay? We don't need to do that for an arbitrary function on the group. We can just do that because we are going to see that indeed group elements are going to be like a basis for function on the group using the Peter Weiss theorem just in a moment. So we want to check that this is so this by definition is going to be so it's a left invariant derivative. So S is equal T is equal to zero of so what do we get here? We get the group element H multiplied by exponential of what I use, S. Tj times exponential t tk minus the same mn minus, so I need other bracket here, minus the same thing but the other order and so what do we get here? What's this? How is this simplified? What do you get? So you just have, so these are just exponentials. So, and you want to take the derivative and.
Can we get the commutator of the t?
Yeah. Okay. So you get h times the commutator of tg tk so and this what is that is exactly epsilon j k l tl and this can be of course rewritten putting this on the side as a Lie derivative acting on just h time multiplying by so t time tl, meaning that here we are dealing with epsilon j k l of left invariant derivative on L acting on H, E. And then you have the component here, MN. And by definition, this is exactly, so here, what is the result? This is epsilon JKL EL, and seen as an operator, EL is indeed the left invariant derivative. And you can check that indeed here you have the IH bar coming. You have one here, here you have a minus h bar squared. So if you conclude, you put everything together, what you get is exactly that indeed the commutator of these two operator is indeed equal to e h bar epsilon j k l time this operator. And this is exactly what we wanted. This is exactly that. Okay? So this means that here what we did, we managed to find a representation for the holonomies and the fluxes on the space of function of the group. Okay, so we are working on the space of function of the group. And now we have these two kind of representation. And everything is consistent with the for the commutators. Okay? So, but now to obtain a Hilbert space, what are we missing? So So we have our space of function. We have operator acting on this function. But to have an Hilbert space, what do you need? Yeah. Inner product.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So we need to now select an inner product. And in fact, the way we're going to select this inner product is because, so for the moment, this flux is not very self-adjoint operator. So we want an operator a bit more symmetric. So we are going to be here. So the fluxes are defined just as left invariant derivative. So this is going to, what are the left invariant derivative? They give us the infinitesimal change of a function under the, so it's a left derivative, so it's the right translation, meaning the right multiplication of the group. Okay, because here you see how it works. If I don't take the derivative here, this can be seen as a SU2 group element. So really the action, it's really seen as the infinitesimal action of the translation, the right translation, because it's a multiplication by the right on the group. Okay, so this has, yeah, left, right here is a bit confusing. And so this means that we want to find, we want to define our inner product, we need to find a measure. And so here the measure, we would like to have a measure which is going to be invariant under this right multiplication, okay? But in fact, for SU2, we can do better. We can have a measure which is going to be invariant. And in fact, for any compact group, we can find a measure which is going to be invariant under left and right translation. And do you know what is this measure? How it is called? Yeah, the R measure. Okay? Have you heard about the R measure yet or on SU2? No? Okay, so let's just. So let's define this inner product. So now we need the inner product. But before that, just maybe. Yeah, since we know that we want a measure invariant under right translation, I'm going to define what is this right translation, what is this action on the group. And in fact, we're going to see that for SU2 or any compact group, we can do better than that. Because we have the R measure, which is invariant under left and right translation. And so what do I call right translation? So the left, before defining the R measure, so the left and right action on a group or left and right translation for, if you consider H, which belongs to this group, so here G is, in our case, is SU2, but this is valid for any. We define the left action as, sorry, so I need a function on the group. And this is F of G H inverse. So here it just, we need to have this inverse in order that the representation property are satisfied, meaning that we want that LH1, H2 can be decomposed as the action of LH1 and the action of LH2, okay? So that's why we need this inverse here. And the right, the Yeah, so this is the left translation. The right translation now is just on the group, is just given by f of h g. And you can check again that the representation property is satisfied, meaning that you have exactly the same. For any action on the group, you always want this kind of property satisfied. Okay, so this is very general property for any. And so here, this left and right action on the group can be related, of course, to the derivative, so the left invariant and right invariant derivative. So we have the left invariant derivative. Do you see how you can write it in terms of this one of these actions? So as I said, it's of course at the infinitesimal level. So do you see which one I'm going to use? Is it the left action or the right action? What are we doing when we are doing this left invariant derivative? We are multiplying on the right by the group element on the right. Okay, so here we need the right action. So it's going to be R. And the group here is just exponential of T, Tg. Okay, and if we were talking about the right invariant derivative, this would be can be written also this way. So just to tell you that indeed this left invariant derivative or right invariant derivative can be really seen as the infinitesimal change given by this left and right action here. Okay, so this is the left of exponential, and since we have this inverse here, we need this minus sign. And indeed, if we were looking at the exponentiated fluxes, okay, this is going to give us left and right action. Okay? Yeah?
So I think I have a problem with the definition of the left and right action. I think maybe the h on the left should be on the left side.
Sorry? The
h.
Yeah, you're right. So here it's. Thanks. Indeed. Otherwise, you don't have this relation anyway. So it's multiplying on the left. So it's the left solution. So it's this one. Yeah, thanks. And here. So you still have the inverse here. So check that this indeed is satisfied using this definition. Sorry about that. Yeah, thanks. Okay, any other question or comment? Or okay, so this was just because we are going to use this left and right action, so I just wanted to make sure that this was the definition was clear. And now let's give you what is this R measure. So what we want to define is this inner product on the group. So this means we want to, if I take two functions on the group, I want to define this inner product by something like this. And this measure is going to be the R measure, which is going to be an invariant under this left and right action. And in fact, what we are using to define this R measure is that the group SU2, the group manifold, can be mapped into the three sphere. And so we use coordinate on the three sphere, okay, to define the measure. So we have to find an invariant measure. So let's a group G can be parameterized with an angle, which belongs to. And a normalized vector. Okay, and this normalized vector can be decomposed into components using, again, two angles. So you have seen that this parametrization in the tutorial, that indeed G can be written as exponential alpha T dot N, where here T are my generators. And N2 and 3. Sorry. So 2, 1. Where here I have two angles. So this one is from 0 to pi. And this one just. And this measure here is defined as dg, which can be written sine square of alpha divided by 2 d alpha.
Sorry, do you write the same thing for N1 and N3? Or I cannot see the tangent?
No, it's sine, yeah. Yeah. So it's twice the sine, but here it's cos and sine, yeah, thanks. Okay, and if we ask also that this is normalized, meaning that here again, if you take the constant function dj, you get 1. And we also have formally that. So these are the property. Formally, we also have that. So this R measure, which is defined here, is invariant under left and right translation. So meaning that you can multiply by any group element and so of course you also have this relation. So these two things, the fact that your measure invariant under left and right translation and that it's normalized, okay, then this determine uniquely this R measure, okay? So it's uniquely determined by these two conditions, okay? So what is now the Hilbert space over, so just one edge, is going to be the space of integrable function over the group with the R measure. So H, let's call it HE, is the space of squared integrable function over the group, so which is SU2, and with this R measure. So now, what are we missing? We almost have everything. So usually when you have space, you want a basis, an orthonormal basis. So here, can we define an orthonormal basis? So this is your kinematical Hilbert space if you consider just one edge, okay? But now what is the orthonormal basis? So if you we go back to this can be found using the Peter-Weiss theorem, which is a kind of generalization of the Fourier decomposition. Okay, so if, for example, we're in a simplest case, where here we are looking at square integrable function over S1, then you could use the usual Fourier transform. But here we have a kind of theorem, which is a generalization of this Fourier transform, Fourier decomposition. So to find, we need the Peter-Weiss. So anyone knows this? Have you already worked with this theorem? Or? No? So given a function f in square integral function over SU2. So this it can be expressed as a sum over irreducible representation, so irreps of SU2. Namely, we have that F of G can be decomposed as a sum over, so G here is a spin representation, so it's a half integral. Here, this is the dimension of the representation, so it's 2J plus 1. And we have this kind of Fourier component, and here it's decomposed over the group. So this is the group element in the J representation, okay? Where you can, as with the Fourier transform, get this component here as, so here it's just the dimension of the representation. Okay, so what are this object here? These are the matrix element of the irreducible representation G. And the important result is that they form an orthonormal basis. In the space of square integrable function over the group. And so what is here? So let's try to go back to something you know. So you know that a basis state in SU2 is given by so the irreducible representation J, and then you have here magnetic number, okay? So M and N are two magnetic indices, and they can range from minus J to plus J, okay? And they are half integral, okay? So J here J is a half integral, and M and N belongs to minus J plus one, J, okay? And there are the magnetic number. And so if you look, so you see, if you apply G to this number, this is exactly what I denote by this matrix element. And so what does it mean that they form an orthonormal basis? This means that indeed, if you integrate over the group using the R measure, so I'm going to forget about the H in the notation of the R measure, okay? I'm just going to use this one. So we have this relation. And this gives you some, so you have the dimension again. This is the dimension of the representation of SU2. And here you get so delta J prime. Delta M, M prime, and delta N, N prime, okay? So here it's M, N, M prime, N prime. And the other important thing is that they form a complete basis. Meaning that you can write the identity on this space of integrable function as using the sum over J, the sum over M. So M go from minus J the sum over n of these vector bases and this gives you the identity on this SU2 DJ. Okay, can you read at the back? Oh. So just to conclude here, maybe it's a, is it okay? Baba, you okay for your summary tomorrow? It's a bit, sorry, yeah, it's a long lecture today with many new things. But many things are technical, so yeah, the idea is if you can to find what are the. So just let me give you the conclusion. And then tomorrow I will just give you quickly define the length operator, and then we will do a small break and talk a bit about loop quantum cosmology quickly. And we have a kind of invited speaker, even by video. But so what is the Hilbert space now associated with one edge? So one edge, so as we said, is a space of integrable function on the group with the R measure. So again, I put the H, but if I forget about the H, I'm always going to talk about the R measure. And using the Peter-Weyl's theorem, we can see that we can decompose that as the sum over all irreducible representation. So of the representation space, Vj. And here, this is the dual representation, but they are both unitary equivalent. So to show this explicitly, then you need to really act with the left action and the right action on this matrix element to see how they behave, and then you show that. So this is a dual representation, but they are really unitary equivalent. So you don't, it's just that they are represented instead of this matrix element here, you would have the transpose. But, I'm not going to give you detail here. So, but what you need to remember is now if you have one edge of spin network, okay, which is oriented, then the bases associated to this edge can be really seen as this three label. So you have the spin here, representation, and then you have the two magnetic number. Okay, and so here, you know, you remember that indeed on each edge, as we said, we have an holonomy. Okay, and so now we are going to, instead of just work with the holonomy, we really work with the group element for a given representation. And really, these two magnetic numbers can be seen as the end points here. So this means that now we are going to work with edges like if you have angular momentum associated to both ends of the edge. So this is the result of this Peter-Weyl theorem. Okay, so this is just a specific basis, and so you can now see this edge as carrying a spin representation, and the two nodes here carrying a magnetic number, okay? So I'm going to finish now, because it's already fine.